To We Used to Be Cool, a podcast for moms. We hope you'll join us each week as we pause the craziness to remember that we're not alone and that being a mom is actually really cool. Hey everybody, welcome back to We Used to Be Cool. It is just us tonight, and we are just gonna chat and kind of talk about what's going on and also share some things that we think new moms might be interested in, especially if you're in the process of building a registry, even if you're a second or third time mom, some things that you might find helpful. And then we're going to share a little bit just kind of what's been going on, I guess, the last week or so. We just didn't really have a plan going into tonight, but we're just going to let it ride, see where it goes.
Zan thinks that no one likes to, or maybe no one might want to hear about this stuff, but I absolutely love talking about this kind of random baby stuff, mom stuff, pregnancy stuff. I think it's fun to talk about. And if you don't, just cut it off here.
Just wait till 1 minute so counselors are listening. Okay.
Okay, all right. Cut that out.
Hannah. Okay. So let's just start with registry then, because Hannah's in the process of building her registry right now for her third. Mm-hmm. So it's different, obviously, but it also just reminds you of things that you maybe wish you had ordered the first time around, or things that you did order and you're like, that was pointless.
Yeah.
Just start. Name some stuff.
Okay. So I didn't do a registry with Hank. So I haven't done a registry in like a good 3.5, 4 years. And I just started it yesterday. And some things that I do recommend, well, or that I want to put on my registry or did put on it is, well, one, I'm really into scents. I love anything that smells good. It smells like a baby. And I've decided lately that I really like the Johnson & Johnson, the purple bottles. I think
lavender,
like the lavender, like calming nighttime ones smell really good. So I added those to my registry instead of the usual regular Johnsons. But what I was going to talk about, I wasn't even going to mention that, but Mustela, that brand, I found out about it when Fletcher was a baby. They have a really good, like, no rinse cleanser if your baby spits up a lot, especially. This is helpful because Fletcher spit up all the time like crazy, and so I always felt like I'm really into scents, and I didn't want him to smell like spit up. And my friend Kara told me about it, and it's just no rinse. But so you just put it on like a little dry washcloth or one of like a cotton pad, and then just wipe him off like around his neck or wherever.
Does it like suds up? Or no,
it doesn't even suds up. It's just like a little, I don't know. It just makes them smell better and freshens them up without having to put them in the bath in the middle of the afternoon or whatever.
Right.
So I love that. And I also love, well, I'm really freaked out about Cradle Cap, and I just never, like, no judgment to anyone who has had struggles with that, but
because a lot of babies get it.
Yes, absolutely,
very common.
But I was proactive and I didn't want my kids to get it, so I got the Mustela Cradle Cap shampoo. That's like this little foaming cleanser is to treat Cradle Cap, but I used it preventatively. So when their babies, both of the boys, I just used it every time I put them in the bath. I would shampoo them with it. It's very gentle, but and I don't know if that's why my kids never got Cradle Cap, but that's what I'm going to say.
I would also say that's, just to add to that, is to get one of the little scrubby brushes for their heads.
Yes, the Frida Mom little blue scrubby brush. I use that every single time, too, with that. I never just washed their hands with, washed their hair with my hands when they were babies. I always use a little brush. And
they do that at the hospital too. So that's how you know it's probably the right thing to do.
That's true. And the blue one's so soft. You don't have to worry about it being.
Right. And it's surprising how, I mean, they use that like little baby bristle brush at the hospital when they wash their hair, and it doesn't hurt them or anything. Yeah. They like it. I remember Murphy, like when they're taking their first bath, how they look so relaxed. They love it.
That reminds me that when Hank was in the hospital, the girl that gave him his first bath was a CNA, and she had never given a baby a bath before and came in by herself to do it. And I had to show her how to do it.
Oh my gosh. That's
poor girl. Yeah, it was sweet. But anyways,
sweet for a second time all. First time all would be like, what the? Can we get a sub?
And then one more Mustela product is something that I found out about.
They need to sponsor us.
It's just three products, but when I was at dinner the other night at Megan and Jason's house, Strimbul, shout out.
Friends of the pod.
She let me, for some reason, I don't even remember why, but I used her baby hairspray styler on Hank's hair.
Rhett has a lot of hair.
Smelled amazing. She's like, yes, this is why it always smells so good. And so I put that on my registry too, just a little hairspray to make your baby's hair smell good. I'm all about a smell.
Clearly.
First 10 minutes of the podcast is about making your baby smell good. Not to mention Dreft. Okay. Shout out to Dreft. I wash all of my baby's clothes in Dreft because it smells so good. So what else do you have? Do you have any registry stuff, San?
Well, I think one thing to point out is that, like, I think all of those things are different price ranges, I would say. I think sometimes you make the mistake of doing everything kind of cheap or everything really expensive, and you're going to have different people on different budgets buying for you. So I think it's smart to spread out kind of your price points. Even if you're working on a wedding registry right now, no matter what kind of registry it is, it's just helpful. Even as I'm thinking about as a shopper, when I'm going to a baby shower, like the price range I'm looking for is like 50 and under. Mm-hmm. And so many big baby items are $200 or, you know, the car seat or whatever. And so just thinking about who's buying for you, and it's not just your parents or the baby's grandparents. It's like also, you know, your friends who aren't.
Which I also agree with, even just wanting, sometimes I'm looking at a registry and I buy something, but then I want to add a little something to it.
Right.
And it's good to have some cheaper things on there too.
Totally.
Like that you could just add to the gift.
But as far as, I mean, all of yours are about bath time basically, which is fine. But I would say just in that vein, that's a good thing to register for a baby bathtub. I was like, Hannah, you don't need this knee pad. You don't need a kneeling pad. It's crazy. It's pointless. No one used it. I never used mine. And then Hannah was like, okay, I'm ordering one after her baby came. She's like, okay, I need to order one of those kneeling pads. I'm like, oops. So everybody's different too. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And it's also what you learn each baby. I feel like it's easier to know, like, oh, that was pointless for me, but it doesn't mean it's going to be pointless for you.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's things to spend money on, and there's things that, like, one of mine, for example, that I like will live and die by is going ahead and putting your toddler car seat on there, because your baby car seat doesn't last that long. Mm-hmm. And the toddler car seat's expensive. I mean, you can get a reasonable one for sure that someone will buy for you, but going ahead and having, I mean, the first, we all both transition our babies at like 6 or 8 months, probably somewhere in that range. And so if you already have that in your attic or in your garage, it's so nice to not have to worry about going to buy the second car seat.
And I put two, or I don't even know if I put two on mine or if I just got duplicates and then kept them. And I was so glad because then we had one.
Right, for both cars.
Yeah.
It's so
nice. All of those things before you have a baby, you're like, that's going to be so far away. Like, that's crazy. I don't even need that right now. And then that time just goes by so quick.
So I would say that about everything. Like, and that's the thing, too, I was thinking about is some things, like, it's based depending on when your baby's born. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about like summer stuff, like the baby dome, the Fisher-Price baby dome.
I've never used one.
Right. Hannah has summer babies. So when your baby's a newborn in, you know, July, your chances of going to the beach that often are slim.
Yep.
But if your baby's a spring baby like mine, that is like a life-changing thing for the beach, the park, wherever you go, because it's just like a little, basically like a pop-up playpen, but it's only good for like 6 months and under.
Fisher-Price.
Very small.
It's Fisher-Price, right? Fisher-Price baby.
Yes,
dome.
It's very small, but it's just like a good one if you're having a spring baby or even like a maybe January and beyond baby. Mm. But if it's, you know, it's kind of pointless. Like I didn't use it for Sunny because she was October. Mm. By the time summer rolled around, she was too big for it. So I just feel like there's certain things like that that are just seasonal. Yeah,
definitely. And one thing that I also was thinking of is bottles. We always use the Como Tomo bottles. Those mm-hmm. are, like, we highly recommend.
But I would also say, and I've seen people do this, like, you don't really know what your baby's going to like. Every baby's different. Like, I remember with Murphy, we were registered for, like, all Dr. Browns because we didn't even know about Como Tomo at that point, which some people's babies love Dr. Browns and use them nonstop. So every baby's different. So what I would say is don't register for a ton of bottles, or if you do, don't open any of them until you're ready to use. And you know what I mean? Like, because don't, I'd say don't go through and I'm going to go ahead and wash all these bottles and clean all this stuff. And that way it's ready to use, because then you may not even use them. So I would just, a lot of stuff you're going to want to go ahead and unbox and put away. But stuff like that that's expensive that you don't even know if your baby will like. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish I had saved some stuff in boxes so that I could run it back to Target. Yeah. And I realized we weren't using it. But so much of my stuff, I was like, let's go ahead and unbox it and organize it and put it away. And then you can't return it.
But I just feel like I don't know. I suggest it because I feel like so many people use it or figure out like, oh, that is the one that my baby wanted. Because it's like, especially for breastfed babies, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, they're silicone. They're only three parts to wash. Whereas like the Dr. Brown's are five parts.
Oh, wow. I've never used anything except
Dr. Brown's have five pieces to wash. Komatoma has three. The nipple, the ring, and the bottle. That's it. So I think that's a benefit to them, too. Even if your baby likes any bottle, that is a perk for sure. But they are more expensive.
And it's also just kind of like a boob.
Yeah, it's silicone, like the shape of it. Yeah. But it's definitely expensive. I mean, they're like the pricier of the bottles, I would say.
Yeah.
But worth it if your baby likes them.
Yeah. Or if they're just picky about bottles at first, which a lot of people have that problem.
Okay, let's talk about crib mattresses. Someone said this. I posted on Instagram. I was like, what's some registry must-haves? And someone said a certain brand of crib mattress. Newton mattress.
Is that expensive?
Probably. Hannah and I both are in the camp of like, there's a certain mattress you're supposed to get.
I had no clue until recently when one of my clients told me that. She was like, they're expensive.
But it must be something special about it. I mean, obviously. Yeah. They're like, I don't know, probably all organic and stuff.
Non-toxic or something.
Breathable.
I have just like a regular old Serta. I feel like it was like $60 or $80, and it works great. No complaints from the baby. But I mean, so far, they haven't given any bad reviews.
Ours weren't great sleepers, so maybe there's something to be said about an expensive mattress. Yeah. Oh gosh. Okay.
You put them in like a sleep number crib. Oh my They're like gosh. Elevating themselves up.
What about a snoo? Neither of us did a snoo, but what are your thoughts?
Okay, well, I actually have some major thoughts, but I know a lot of people who love a snoo. But my thoughts with my second baby after transitioning Fletcher from this to that to this, like I did the swaddle into the Merlin's Magic Sleep Suit, out of the bassinet, into the crib. Like I even started in a smaller thing than the bassinet, trying to keep him more cozy, and then tried to transition him to the bassinet.
Right.
So I was constantly in this transitioning him to this and transitioning him to that. So with the second baby, I was like, all right. No Merlin's Magic Sleep Suit. I'm doing straight up swaddle in the bassinet. Yes, this bassinet seems huge for this tiny little newborn, but I did it and I only had to transition him from the bassinet to the crib. And I didn't do all these different one arm out and all. It's just so much where you're like, okay, we're in a good spot. And then you're like, oh, I'm terrified to take him out of the Merlin's Magic Sleep Suit. And then he stayed in it way too long. And like, I'm just big on. So I feel like if you start with the snoo, then you got to transition them out of the snoo into whatever. It's just a bunch of different contraptions. So I think the more simple you can start, the better. But I don't know. Especially with your first baby, you're just so desperate for sleep, you'll try anything. And I think the second baby, you realize like, oh, like I've said before on here, I haven't slept for 2 years anyways. It'll be fine. Yeah. Like I'm going to power through it.
Right.
But the first baby, you're just like, this is our life now and I'm never going to
sleep again.
Yeah.
Totally.
So I totally get using the snoo, but
they're also really expensive, obviously, but people rent them. I saw a thing of like a friend group who was all planning on having babies kind of stair step. So they bought one all together and then just rotated around the group.
That's
which is pretty smart. Because you only use it for a short time.
Yeah. But it's just kind of like any kind of contraption. I even heard on a podcast before about like playing and how we shouldn't have so many different contraptions to put our babies in as much as just letting them be on the floor. That's how they learn to roll over, explore, whatever. Uh-huh. Like, it's okay for your baby to just be on the floor on a little mat or on a blanket or whatever.
Right.
You don't have to do so many different things and have the, what are those called? Like the floor mom's thing? The kangaroo thing?
Mama Roo, which I have one of those.
Mama Roo, a swing.
And I have a walker, and Hannah's
very against a walk.
My babies have loved their walker, and it's not caused any major issues.
Yeah, except every time they've ever ran over your foot. I hate that.
Remember how they get really scared of each other? Like, when Sunny was in the walker, Moses was like screaming bloody murder for
it's
5 minutes.
Scary. She's
terrified of her
thing.
Hitting him.
But I also just think that delays walking. That's what I'm trying to get at, is like all these different things.
Does it though? Because
it.
Sunny walked pretty early.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say.
Did you start at Murphy?
15 months.
Just kidding.
Okay. So any other registry talk? I was trying to think of any other like, one person responded and said the taking care of babies course, or like if you wanted a course like that, that's pretty smart to put it on your registry or to ask someone to buy you that. Like maybe your mom or a group of friends wanted to go in on something big for you. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good idea. Yeah. Not necessarily taking care of babies, but just any of those kind of programs or whatever, if you were interested in those. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a good idea.
I don't even know if that, you don't have to go in on that. I think I was like $75.
Oh, okay.
The first.
Cool.
From her.
And then I was also thinking about, as far as registry goes, just like not going overboard when it comes to anything really, but making sure you're just putting like your necessities on there too, like putting diapers, putting lotion and soap and things you know you'll use. And then instead of you buying your own diapers, use your money to pick out the clothes you like. Mm-hmm. Things that you want, that you realize, oh, my baby doesn't need, I have 16 burp cloths and my baby doesn't spit up or whatever, you know, it's like, or all of a sudden I didn't get any burp cloths and my baby spits up all the time. So like, mm-hmm. they need to go buy that. So some of the things you don't know that you're going to need until your baby gets here, or you realize you're not going to need once the baby gets here.
Yeah.
So again, back to like saving your stuff, not opening everything and taking the tags off everything. Cause you'll be surprised even how fast they outgrow stuff. Like I remember after Murphy, all of a sudden he was in like, out of newborn and in 0 to 3. And there was all this newborn stuff that I'd taken the tags off and he still hadn't worn or whatever. You know, it's like those kind of things. Same with diapers, like leaving them in the box until you're ready to use them. And Kate, because they outgrow them so quickly.
They outgrow all of them. I forgot about that, how fast they outgrow. I was thinking they were in ones for a long time, and I bought a bunch of ones. And then, really, the one that they're in the longest is threes. So I would recommend registering for more threes.
Too.
Yeah, but ones go quick.
I couldn't remember if ones went quicker or ones and threes were longer and newborns and twos were what was quick. That's what I was thinking.
Newborns and twos?
They go through fast. And ones they stay
well,
a while.
Hank didn't. I don't know if just because he was big or what, but I had way too many ones. Threes is where I was like, okay, I'm going to remember this for my next baby.
Yeah.
I would also say that the pressure from social media to have all this bougie stuff that's so expensive that you don't actually need. Or it's okay to buy used. But I think so many of my clients, their first registry or whatever, it's like such expensive stuff that you think you need for a long time. Like even like a bouncy seat. You can get a bouncy seat that's like a colorful bouncy seat on Target for like $29.99. Or you can go get like one of those really expensive like baby
Bjorn.
Yeah, and they're over $200. But you don't even use a bouncy seat for that long.
True.
And why... Like, it's kind of like, don't feel that. I just don't think, I wish people didn't feel that pressure to have something that's so, like...
aesthetically pleasing.
Aesthetically, yes, for something that's used for such a short time.
Right. Now, we are just not the ones to talk to about aesthetically pleasing, though. We just don't
exactly,
prioritize
yes.
that.
I'm a cheap anything. Skate. So well, I don't even want to, just let me get off of this tangent, because I can go forever talking about deals, steals, and what not to waste money
deals
on.
And steals. No, for sure. I think that's a good point. Even just like you said, it's okay. Get it used or find one on Marketplace or go to the Posh Whale sale or some of those sales too. And you can find them for sure. There's a consignment sale coming up this week, actually. They have them constantly around here, it seems like.
Yeah,
so you can always find stuff. Okay. That's good.
Okay, great. One thing, do you want to talk about like after the baby's born? Did you have anything about that? I have one thing that I just want to say as a tip.
Okay.
I don't know if this is the reason that I've never had mastitis and neither have you, but you told me when Fletcher was born that I should change bras every day and always wash my boobs in the shower, like actually wash them with soap and water and to change bras. And I think a lot of people don't realize that you haven't changed bras or whatever because you're just at home and you're whatever. But I think it's super important for, or it's just a good tip. And I don't know if that's why
I think it's part of it for sure. I think just keeping yourself clean is easier said than done in those first few weeks, but it makes such a difference health wise and just the way you feel in general.
Yeah. But just your bras, it's like, it's not like I'm sweating in these or anything. I'm just sitting around the house.
But they're literally crusty and full of milk. And also, registering for those for good nursing bras is a great idea. Especially we just wear like the cheap, soft ones from Amazon, but they really are good ones.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're like $20 for three or something. I'm literally wearing the same ones I wore this morning, even now, and I'm not nursing anyone. But anyways, so yeah, register for several of those different colors, and then that way you have them on hand too. Because I think that's the problem too. Some people are like, oh my gosh, I only have this one nursing bra, I only have two nursing bras. I can't change them every day. So if you have a little stash.
Yeah.
A good idea.
It's good.
So
do you want to move on to just like, do you have any random things, or do you want to talk about, I have a sleep tip.
Go for it.
This is what I mean when I say I love talking about stuff like this. I'm like, I've got something else.
Tell us.
Well, something that has helped me lately, and this isn't with a newborn, but one thing I learned from a sleep consultant that I was looking at her blog was about early morning wake up. So with Fletcher, like I was just like, oh yeah, my baby, he sleeps through the night, but every day he wakes up at 5 a.m. ready to rock and roll. And it's just the way it is. I think it's because me and Judd get up early or whatever. And then what I learned with Hank reading the sleep consultant's blog is with early morning wakings, you have to, so maybe your baby doesn't, it's fine if your baby is sleeping, like Sunny sleeps late, and I'm pretty sure you do this. You don't wait, what I'm about to say, 10 minutes. Did I ever told you this?
Go on, I don't know.
So she says to fight or to change the early morning wake habit, what you need to do is when they wake up, it's okay. Like leave them in the crib, of course, everyone knows that. Leave them in there for a little while and let them roll around, see if they're going to fall back asleep. But whenever you decide to go in there and get them, look at your watch and don't give them anything they want for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah,
and it
yeah.
is the longest 10 minutes of my life, but it works so well with Hank. Like, so what I do is you make it uncomfortable for them to wake up, not comfortable. So with Fletch, I would go in there and be like, oh my goodness, it's 5 o'clock. Okay, come on, go grab him, put him in my bed, nurse him, turn on Sesame Street, and then, you know, like fall back asleep and snuggle with him and stuff. Which is just a reward for getting up early.
Like this and you get a bottle and you get to watch Sesame Street.
So what, every time you wake up and start crying, this is what you get.
See you tomorrow at 3.
Yeah, exactly. And so with Hank, it changed so much because what she says to do is go into Hank's room, turn on the light, say good morning, open up the curtains, and literally And then I change his diaper. No matter what, I'm like,
no wipe warmer.
Yep. No, this thing is freezing cold. And he's like crying, poor guy, but he just has to. So I change his diaper. Sometimes I'll even go ahead and put his outfit on him. And then I'm like, all right, that was literally 30 seconds. Now we got to keep going for 10 minutes. So then I'm like, let's look out the window. Anyways, long story short. So I'm like looking out the window, showing him our neighbor's houses, saying hi to the dogs, doing all these things, changing the laundry over. So long story long, you take those 10 minutes and do not give him a bottle. Don't give him a snack. Don't give him a bottle, any juice, whatever you normally give them. No TV, so that they're like, actually, I want to stay in my crib. That lady is annoying.
No fun before the sun.
Exactly. But no matter what time it is, and I would say even if your baby, it's one thing. I mean, Sunny, I know sleep's good, but like, Hank, I still do that. Even if he sleeps till the time that I want him to get up, which is, you know, between 7 and 8:30, anywhere around in between that time, I still wait the 10 minutes just so he doesn't.
Huh.
So I'm never rewarding him for waking up.
That's good.
It's been really helpful. Like,
it's hard the first couple mornings, I'm sure. And then they learn.
And he stays in his crib now, and it works like a charm. Like, he'll wake up and I'll watch him. He just stays in there, plays with his little stuffed animals, rolls around, whatever. And I mean, truly, like, Judson was so impressed by it. I'm like, watch what this is about to do. And it works.
No, that's good.
So it's like a major rule in our house. If you get Hank up in the morning, you better change his diaper and not do anything for 10 minutes.
Make him miserable. Yeah.
So, hot tip. I'd take it and run with it, ladies.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my word. I act like I'm some sort of
guru.
Yes.
You are.
It's just fun to talk about.
No, it is.
Everyone has different things that they just, they're like, oh, this worked for me, and I want to tell you about it. Like, I just love talking about that.
For sure. And I think you can, and that's a one thing that's so nice about hanging out with other moms when you get a chance to, is that you are learning stuff and like something that worked for you that I never thought about or something yeah. that, you know, that's so good. Okay. So speaking of that, kind of the sleep thing, but also just like with the time change coming, I'm like starting to get stressed. Hannah and I both realized last year, we've always been the type to, obviously like everyone else in America, we want it to stay light longer. But then once you have little kids, you're like, actually, this is kind of the worst when it's all of a sudden, like, if because, I mean, my kids go to bed at 7. Now the sun's not going to be setting until after 7:30. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be not understanding why they have to go to bed. Mm-hmm. Or, like, it's going to be much harder to settle them down and convince them that it's bedtime. Even though they're going to be sleepy, they're going to be hard to convince.
It's just hard, yeah. Even, like, because we're always outside at that time. So I realized in November when the time changed, I'm like, this is so nice because there's we're like, oh. Time to go in. Uh-huh. We're not fighting them to go in. It's dark. It's right. Like, it's dark, you guys. It's time to go in. It's only 5:15 or 5:30.
Right.
And then you just get everything going and you're ready for bed by 7. But this is always so hard when it changes. It's fun, but, and it reminds you of summer. That's why I think that I love it, is because it reminds you of like growing up in summertime. But
once they're out of school, it'll be okay with me if we're staying up a little later. But like they have to wake up early and they're like miserable all day when they haven't got enough sleep, and it makes everyone miserable. So I'm just worried about that, them not wanting to go to bed, staying up later, and then it being a fight in the mornings to get them up. Because already we have to wake Moses up to go to school. And so I'm just like, how are we going to do that? So I was just going to say, do you have any, like, do y'all have, like, a plan or a goal or anything that you're hoping to kind of help the transition or anything you've heard?
I don't, but I have read an email about it from that same sleep consultant who taught me about the 10-minute thing. She sent out an email about it and said there was like three different tips, but the one that really stuck out to me was for babies with a one nap schedule, because that's what Hank's on. But Hank doesn't have necessarily a dead set. I still kind of do a wake window with him for his nap time. But she's like, if they have a dead set nap time, you can push it back.
Because it's going to be spring forward. So, like, what's that? How is that going to work? So, when it's 7 o'clock and it's bedtime for them, it's going to feel like it's only 6 o'clock
for their bodies. So, she's saying put them down for their nap. So, say it's a 12 o'clock nap. She's saying put them down at 12:30 because
like every day leading up, or
she was just saying when the day starts or when it starts.
The first day. Okay.
It'll feel like 30 minutes sooner to them, but really it's an hour. That's so confusing to me.
If they normally go down at 12, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Put them down at 12:30. Feel like they went down 30 minutes early. Yes. But really they went down 30 minutes late.
Yes.
But 30 minutes early is better than an hour early is probably what she's saying.
So she's saying, like, I actually just pulled up the email. So like for their current schedule, so if their current schedule is wake up at 7, nap at 12, bed at 7, you would change it because they're probably going to wake up at 8 that first day. Okay. So she's saying change their nap to 12:30 and put them in bed at 7:30. It's really going to be
30 minutes early rather than an hour early. Yes. Is basically what you're doing.
Yes, I guess so. And she said it'll take 4 days for them to get used to it. And she then at the end of the email said, or if you don't want to do any of this, you can just wing it and you will survive. And I was like, okay, that'll be me.
Well, I feel like honestly, Hank and Sonny are probably going to be easier than the boys. Than Fletcher and Moses and Murphy, because they're the ones who, like, it's not dark. Like, that's Murphy's, we don't go to bed when it's the sun's out. Like, that's confusing, I feel like.
Yeah. I guess I'm just not really worried about it. I'm just like, well, we adjust every time.
Right, we don't have a choice.
The November one stresses me out more because they're going to be up earlier. So I'm like, oh, God, he's been waking up at 5:30. It's going to be 4:30 tomorrow morning when he wakes up.
Right.
That's true. I'm like, well, Sunday's going to roll around and Hank's going to be asleep.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the morning as much as I am the bedtime routine, even later into the summer when it's almost 9 o'clock and it's just getting dark.
Do you have blackout curtains?
No.
Yeah, that's a huge mistake.
Register for those. Put those on your registry.
Blackout curtains are all.
They're in Sunny's room. They're in Sunny's room, but not the boys. Not when, once they got bigger. I had them when they were babies, and we don't have them in our new house. New house that we moved into 2 years ago.
Well, I highly recommend blackout curtains, and even Megan doesn't have. Or no, that wasn't.
Yeah, Megan doesn't have. She doesn't.
Yeah, and then my friend Haley was like, I don't have them either because they're not cute. Like, they're not aesthetically pleasing. And I'm like, yeah, but.
Mine are cute. They're black.
Mine are too, but she has, like, sheer. She's very, like, boho and awesome. Go, Haley. But anyways, I was saying, or when the time changes is when you're really going to. Why are you laughing so hard?
I don't know. Okay, here's what I was going to say. That is true. I do need to get up.
Just Haley's going to be shook because I know. That maybe it's been dark at bedtime. And
I need to probably do something for the boys' rooms. But honestly, they still... We don't have an organized bedtime routine anyway. But one of our goals that we decided, Ethan and I decided, is to make sure that we're all eating together.
Oh, yeah.
Early so that we're not like, because right now we have this problem. It's not a problem, but the boys go to bed so early, right at 7. So then we eat. Sometimes we just start cooking even once they're asleep. And so we eat at like 7:30, 7:45. But if they're staying up later, then we're just going to be annoyed. Like, why aren't y'all asleep? Get to sleep, get to sleep, because we're going to be hungry. So I'm like, what we need to do is just, we've already been wanting to eat together anyway. So we're just making that our goal, is to like have dinner ready for all of us at 6 or 6:30, all eat together. It's still daylight. So then go on a family walk or go play outside for a few more minutes and kind of wait out the dark.
Yeah.
And then that way it's more fun for the kids. It's more fun for us too. We'll be happy to do it. It's just a matter of I'm getting organized enough to actually have dinner ready for everybody at the same time.
Yeah.
Because now I've gotten in this routine of like not worrying about me and Ethan until everyone goes to bed.
Yeah.
So that's my goal, is to like just make us so that we're not hangry. Like, go to sleep, getting frustrated. And I think that'll help us overall. But I've always read that thing about how like it's so good for your kids to go back outside or like go on a walk. Remember we talked about that, I think, like their blood sugar or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
After they eat, to get back outside, run around some more. Yeah. And so that's why I think that'll be good. And Murphy like wants to be outside constantly. Moses will have to convince him.
Yeah.
But I think that'll be good for all of us, too.
Yeah, that's really good.
Some good family time. Hopefully. I'm trying to see the positives of it instead of just the how it's going to throw us all off. But anyways, okay.
Well, yeah, that just reminds me of, like, being type A and not being type A or something.
Right.
And not being worried about it. I'm like, what is it? Type B? Is that the other one? I've never even heard of it.
Yeah,
I'm
type B.
But I've just realized lately, especially, that I'm just not very type A. I'm just like, well, it'll be fine.
Right. And it will be. And it'll all play out. But okay. One more thing I want to mention, because it just came through on Instagram, is a must-have registry item. This person said a Dock-a-Tot. Which is another very expensive thing. But they also have the knockoff. I have the knockoff.
Yeah, you have the knockoff.
What was it called?
I do not know.
Snuggle Me Organic.
Oh.
Something like that. And it's still like $100, but compared to the Dock-a-Tot, it's a lot less than that. But the person who said the Dock-a-Tot, I will say, is a twin mom. So she probably really did need something for...
To dock that tot on.
Yes. But she said that was literally her most used item. So that's good. Okay, one more thing I want to share. Is that okay? I also posted on our Instagram, if you saw it, what do you wish someone had told you before you became a mom?
Oh.
And so these are some good things. And I think these are good if you are like Hannah and about to have your third baby, or if you are a new mom, or if you're, you know, a new mom who has a one-year-old. You're still a new mom. So I'm just going to read a couple of these because there were some really sweet ones and some good ones. So one says, postpartum is real. It's okay if you don't feel like yourself because you're not who you once were. And that is so true. Like the feeling of like, I'm just not myself right now, okay? Like you feel so frustrated, I think, at times because you feel like you can't explain how you feel, like to your spouse maybe or to someone. Like I'm not myself.
Right.
And it's true. You're not. It completely changes your entire makeup, hormones, everything. It's crazy. Okay, another one says, it's okay if being a mom becomes your personality. It's my greatest role, is what this person said. And I think that's so true. It does feel like that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, obviously like
all
for
you
us.
Want to talk about, clearly.
Okay. This girl, Emily, she said, your relationships will drastically change, some for the better and some not.
Interesting.
True. Especially, I think, your friendships are hard to maintain at a point. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then it's okay to ask for help or need a break. It doesn't make you a bad mom. It makes you human.
True.
Very good. Laura, friend of the pod.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's two that are like kind of practical. The first one was how hard it is to find childcare and how early to prep for it. Mm-hmm. Especially in a town like Wilmington, I feel like, where there's like, or even in a really.
Probably every town.
It probably is. Because even really small towns only have one or two options.
Yeah.
And then a bigger city with so many people. Yeah. It's like impossible. You were just talking about your.
Yeah, my client.
Who's been on a list for over a year.
Yeah, and then they just pushed her back for another like 6 months.
That's
and she's just having to juggle with her parents and stuff to make it work.
And some people don't have any help to be able to like figure it out.
Yeah.
And then one other just practical. I feel like nobody told me about the not so fun things like needing adult diapers. True. But I've heard too. I didn't have to do that. But I've heard people say that it's better than the pads to just put on an adult diaper.
Oh, they mean legit?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah.
Not to like, just like pee and poop in, but just for the bleeding and the discharge.
Yeah, and those like mesh underwear and stuff from the hospital.
Yes. So those are all good, just little encouraging words.
What I always say to people when they're having their first baby is, if you cry every day, that's totally normal. Because I felt like I did. I cried every single day. And I wouldn't even with Fletcher, not with Hank. But
I
didn't
with
know
all
why
of
I was
every
crying.
Day.
I didn't know why, but I would just be like, yeah, Mom, you're good to leave. I'm great. I'm totally fine. And then she would leave and I'd be like, what? And then, I don't know, but Judson, I really prepared him for that too beforehand. I was just like, I think I might be crying a lot. I'm not sure. But if I am, like, because taking care of babies kind of preps you for that by saying, like, it takes 40 weeks for these hormones to build up in our bodies, and then they all come crashing down in 6 to 8 weeks. And so I feel like prepping your partner, your husband, whoever, for that. Also, prepping yourself for it and telling now, I literally tell everyone that. I'm like, if you start crying a lot, like, it's totally normal. And then also just to prep your partner so they aren't like, what's going on? Like, are you okay? Like, or whatever. I feel like Judson was really good at being like, it's fine. You're fine. And not panicking.
Right.
And then also just peeing in your pants in general. No one told me that. And I had no clue. Like, I really had a horrible time with that. And I had no idea. Like, I literally told my mom. She was like, how's everything going? It was like the first few days after Fletcher was born. And I was like, everything's good. I just had no clue you would pee in your pants as much like this. And she's like, you're not supposed to be peeing in your pants like that. And I was like, what?
Cue the tears.
And then I started crying. And I just feel like that's another whole thing that you don't think about is like your pelvic floor and stuff like that.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing with any labor and delivery situation, whether it's a C-section or whatever. There's just stuff that I think too, what happens is we like block it out. And so then no one told me that. And it's like, well, honestly, they might have forgotten that they felt that way or that that happened, or not about the peeing in your pants thing, but like I wasn't prepared for like how rough the C-section recovery was going to be. Like, no one told me this, but it's probably because they had kind of blocked it out and like they didn't want to scare me. But at the same time, like, I don't know. You do kind of want to know.
No one wants to be a Debbie Downer too. Right. Where it's just like, just be prepared because it's about to
you
be really
just wait.
Hard 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, that's even true. Just with marriage, I felt like that as well. It's like, you don't want to be like, just so you know, it's like super hard sometimes. Like moving in together and being married, it's hard. You don't. And then people were like, well, no one told me this, but. It's just a weird place to be in. It's like,
right. And it's like unsolicited advising. Like, some people don't know. Totally. Like, because you don't know what to ask. And so people don't want to give you stuff that you haven't asked.
Right.
I think that's part of it, too.
So. You also just feel like no one can ever prepare you. I feel like once you have your baby, you're like, okay, no one could have ever prepared me for that. That was like really labor and delivery or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's just like no one can prepare you for that time.
And I think along that same thing is just like if you are expecting your second, it's so, so, so different.
Yeah.
I hope it is for you. It's not for everyone, I guess.
That's true.
But for us, it was like you're just more prepared. I mean, you have to be. It's just like, logically, you're more prepared. You know what to expect. You've done it before. You know what it's going to be like at the hospital. You know what it's going to be like, you know. Mm-hmm. You know that you're going to need adult diapers or whatever it is. It's like you're just more mentally prepared for what's to come. And it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, I always say that too. Like even if you were starting over 6 weeks later, you would be more prepared because you've lived through that first 6 weeks. Like if you had to start over, you'd be like, okay, I know how to do, or I know what to expect. You just don't know what to expect.
Right. And like even just things like you've never had to latch a baby. You've never had to figure out a breast pump. You've never had to figure out.
You've never had milk coming out of your boobs in the first place.
You've never had a newborn screaming at 2 a.m. and not knowing what to do. It's like the worst feeling the first time around. The second time around, you're like, oh, we survived this once. We can do this again.
Yeah.
And this time's going to pass, and it'll be over before we know it.
Totally.
So.
Well, this episode was longer than I thought. We've really gotten into it.
Okay. What anything else that you're thinking about?
No. Do you have anything that you want to? I have one thing that I was going to share that I'm loving. If you have anything.
I was going to ask you a different question, but
oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just thinking about the question. I had a couple things. I was thinking about how we don't have like a go to. This should be our question every episode.
Yeah, I know.
But I was thinking about it and I was like, maybe we should come up with something that's a little more consistent. But one thing I thought about was like, what's really hard about being a mom right now for you? And then what's really cool about being a mom right now for you?
Oh, that's good.
Do you feel like you can answer that right now? Or do you want to just save it for our next guest? We'll spring it on.
Something that's hard for me is just, I feel like, oh my God, there's so many things. No, probably just being pregnant. I feel like I'm super tired. So obviously having a preschooler, a toddler, and then being super pregnant and big, I'm just kind of like, my body feels like it's tired or something. Mm-hmm. And my mind, and I'm just yawning all the time when I'm like, I shouldn't feel like it's 11 p.m. when it's only 1 p.m. Like,
right.
I think that's just hard, feeling so tired and being like, I'm just exhausted.
Yeah.
But I hate that feeling.
I do too.
Like, I wish I had so much more energy than I have.
I get that for sure.
And what's cool is just like, honestly, this is, you totally put me on the spot. So I was not prepared. But this is crazy. But sometimes when Fletcher, I feel like it's such a privilege to be his mom, obviously Hank's mom too, but like to have so what I was going to say literally is like sitting with Fletcher when he's using the bathroom. Like he wants me to sit in there with him. But like while he sits there and is using the bathroom, he's just talking to me so much and telling me so many things. And I sit there and just stare at him like, it is such a privilege to be the one that gets to listen to these cute little stories. And like he just tells me, like, even tonight, he wasn't using the bathroom. We were at dinner or eating dinner, and he was just talking about him and Murphy racing a kid at school today, like on the playground, and that kid wasn't as fast in the mulch as I was, and Murphy beat him twice, and I beat him once, and just these little stories that I'm just like, this is such a privilege, and it's so sweet how
totally
they want. It's like that song. It's like, there was a time when we were your world. They want to tell us everything, and I think it's the coolest part about being a mom is just being present with them and listening,
because they're gonna get to the age where you're like dragging out of them, begging them to tell you anything and share anything about their day or what they did.
Yeah. And I think the thing that I realized, like just in that bathroom situation, it's like something that should be like, I'm like, oh, Fletchy, I don't sit in the bathroom with you, like it stinks, just
call me when you're done.
But I don't know if the Lord just showed me like, this is so sweet that he just wants to sit there and talk, and I love it.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. What about you?
Honestly, I asked you, but I didn't have
any answer. Cut.
Like you said, there's a lot of things that are hard about it, I feel like. But I guess it's just, for me, it's just feeling like, and we've talked about this a million times, but like, there's just not really a break. Like, even when I have a quote unquote break, I'm mopping the floor or I'm cleaning the bathroom really quick, or, you know, it just feels like there's, and it, actually we're about to have a break, so I'm really excited.
Oh yeah.
Hannah and I are going on a trip together, just us, which is crazy. Not just us, we're going to visit our friend Blake, but we never have done that since we were, before we got married, for sure. And so we're really excited, but, and that'll be a break. But even the process of getting there, like, okay, what all do I need to do before I can leave? Like, what do I need to leave for Ethan? What groceries are they going to need? What, it just feels like, you know, the mental load that we've always said, but just that part right now is hard for me. Just like feeling like I can't get my head above water with little things. Like, just today I made a list of everything I need to get done this week. And it just feels like, when am I even going to get this done? And if I do get it done, I'm definitely not going to make it to the gym. But I can get it done, but I'm not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like that feeling of I have to kind of pick and choose what I can get done.
What's the coolest
part? It's just, there's like, kind of like you said, there's just so many little moments where I'm like, this is so fun. Like tonight, this is so stupid. I just like made up a song. It's something like my dad would have done. Like, I don't want to sing it, but I was like, I love a girl named Sunny. She really looks so cute. And I was like making up a song about Sunny. Then Murphy's like, say one about me. So then I had to sing about him. And then Mosey's like, what about me? And so I was like having to make up all these songs about them. But it was just so cute and so fun. And so I guess what's cool right now is, like you said, they want to talk to you, but also like they're the person, like I'm the person, like people online call it like the default parent, which Ethan's just as hands-on as I am. But
don't throw him under the bus.
No, it's not about that. It's just like kids saying like, mommy's mom. It's like the idea of like, mom has to give me a bath. Mom has to put me to bed. Mom has to brush my teeth. Mom has to do that. It's not nothing to do with your spouse not wanting to help. It's the kids
constantly. Children with Judd. That's how they act with
right,
them.
So he
it's
would,
the
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that feeling, but it's like such a gift and it's so sweet.
So
and
sweet.
Like, even today, all Moses, he wanted to be carried all day. Which, like, I was like, come on, Mosey. But then I thought, gosh, these days are running out where I can't even carry him this easily. Mm-hmm. So just thinking about that is just being their person and being able to be at home with them has
so
been
sweet.
Really, really fun for me.
Love it.
Okay. Anyways.
I have one last thing I want to say. If anyone wants to listen to a fun song with their kids, Lift My Hands by Forrest Frank.
I love that song.
Yes.
It's
we
so
love
good.
It and listen to it all the time. And when we were listening to it tonight, I was like, I'm going to say this on the podcast.
It's
I
so
highly
cute.
Suggest
it's
it.
So sweet.
Yes. And Hank is so
it's
cute
just so
lifting
fun.
His hands.
Oh, yeah. And Sunny would love it. I need to play it for her.
Yeah, it's the best.
Okay, so did you want to say something you were loving or was that going to be
it? That
was it. Oh, okay, perfect. All right. Well, we already have a guest lined up for next week, so don't worry, I won't see us rambling again. But we are so grateful for you. Thank you for listening and thank you for always encouraging us. We've gotten a lot of texts and things in the last couple weeks just telling us that you appreciate it and we appreciate you. So thank you so much and we will talk to you next week.